If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
So one of the most well-known doctors in the world says that everybody should adopt this one habit for better health in 2020, and it has to do with your breakfast. Okay, let's start with breakfast. Andy, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
This morning, I had a yogurt. Okay. That was it.
Why did you have to think about that for so long?
Because I couldn't remember.
Been up for like an hour.
Because not all days I have a yogurt, but on a Monday today, I did have a yogurt.
Sometimes you have cookies?
Sometimes I have cookies. I've got a banana waiting for after the
show.
Okay.
Nice. Sam, you don't do breakfast.
Not a big breakfast guy, no. So I don't really eat until like 11, 12 every day. I have a matcha tea in the morning and that's that. I mean, I get very hungry, don't get me wrong, but I don't cave.
Okay, that's probably good. I go back and forth. I go through like periods of time, months at a time, where I don't do breakfast. And then suddenly I'm like, okay, I think I feel like having breakfast now. And then I'll go a couple weeks or a few months with eating breakfast.
Yeah, you'll eat stuff during the show. You know, you've got, I don't know what it is, but you've got something that...
Chia pudding.
Yeah, I like to make chia the night before. I basically do intermittent fasting. So sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't.
Intermittently, you got it.
That's
okay.
What it's called, yeah.
Dr. Oz says we all have to change the way we approach breakfast, though. Take a listen to this.
I think for 2020, one of the first things I'm going to do is ban breakfast. I don't think we need to eat breakfast. That's an advertising ploy. The smartest thing for us to do is cancel breakfast, have your first meal when you're actually hungry, midway through the morning. In fact, cancel breakfast, have brunch every day of the week. You're not even hungry, you're withdrawal because you had some simple carbohydrate like a potato chip or french fries at 10 at night. That means your body's insulin's all whacked up.
Okay, so he was saying basically everybody should ban breakfast, that if you are hungry in the morning, it's because you're just a food junkie and you're going through withdrawal, and that brunch is a better idea, actually.
I mean, what about, I mean, there's so many questions, though. I mean, he's going on about if you have, like, fries at 10 o'clock at night, you're going through withdrawal. But what if you don't have fries at 10 o'clock at night?
Right? Well, the thing I do find is that when I go from eating breakfast to not eating breakfast, I am hungry at first, but then it does tend to go away.
You adapt.
Your body kind of changes.
And I've really got people that as soon as they wake up, they're the first thing on their mind, oh, I have to have breakfast. I mean, at least give yourself a bit of time to sort of ease your way into the day, have a glass of water, see how you feel.
Well,
I mean,
here's the problem, both with you and with Dr. Oz, is like everybody's so different. There's not one thing. There's blood sugar issues. Yeah. What about when people wake up with like super low blood sugar?
No, that's true. But like, take my girlfriend, for instance, because she's a huge breakfast fan. I am not. When she wakes up in the morning, her instinct is just to eat right away. And I get that hungry feeling, but it passes. And I just encourage her to maybe like try a day where just to see and let yourself get hungry. But she won't even let herself get to that stage. It's like, as soon as the hunger hits, that's it. Yeah. I'm eating and there's nothing you can do
to stop
me.
But you're not making, you don't sound like what Dr. Oz is talking about. He's saying you shouldn't be hungry, that if you are hungry, that there's an issue. If you're waking,
so I gotta change everything else in my diet.
Yeah, maybe there's something else that is the problem. But that is the problem. And I know Dr. Oz is a doctor and part of his job is to be famous. So he likes to make these big, huge comments that jar people and people suddenly have a lot of questions about. But I just think it goes back to, and it wouldn't be popular and you wouldn't be a popular, famous doctor if you were constantly saying it's different for everyone. It's different for everyone.
If but you hedge the line.
Exactly. Yeah. But I really think it is just kind of different for everybody. It depends on how much I've been working out. There are times when I've been working out a lot and my blood sugar just seems to change a lot quicker that way. And sometimes it's difficult to get the amount of calories I need during the day. So I get up and start eating, basically.
You know, a lot of people work out first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I know somebody who's really outspoken about this thing with Dr. Oz is Mark Wahlberg, who's famously known for his workouts, morning workouts. Sometimes he'll work out twice and he'll have 2 breakfasts. And look at Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
He looks great.
He does look great. He said he eats breakfast before and after his workout.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But then you'll have some people say, I do fasted workouts all the time and they're amazing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Take it for what you will. He did say it was a marketing ploy. I mean, I think something that he and probably everybody can agree on is some of the things we have for breakfast maybe aren't meant for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like some of the really sugary cereals. Maybe
don't
the cookies, Andy. I don't know. I think most people can get on board with that.
I have oatmeal raisin. It's healthy.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, Andy, what good news do you have to kick off the week?
Well, I'm not sure this tortoise wants to retire, but he's had a good run and he's going to anyway. So back in 1977, there were less than 20 giant tortoises left in the world, most of them on a place called Espanola Island, which is in the Galapagos. So researchers started a breeding program and they brought in this male tortoise from the San Diego Zoo named Diego. And in the last 43 years, this tortoise's sex drive has basically saved the entire species of tortoises. They call him Super Diego, and there were only 14 giant tortoises in the Galapagos when he got there. Now there are over 2,000 giant tortoises.
What?
Roughly 40% are his offspring. So he's responsible for 800 giant tortoises.
Diego.
Researchers say that lady tortoises find him extremely attractive for some reason. He's now over 100 years old, and he's starting to have some trouble mating, but the program has been so successful that they've decided to end it and let Diego retire.
Oh my gosh, what a stud.
Yeah,
Diego
exactly.
Is.
I want to know what his moves are.
I'm surprised they didn't try to give him some Viagra or something.
Tortoise Viagra.
Wow, I guess that's good news. So yeah. Weird one, but
yeah,
good
news.
Everybody loves a good story, right? Well, the oldest story ever told was just discovered. It's a 44,000-year-old cave painting that was discovered in a cave just off of an Indonesian island. So there's no big plot twist with the artwork. I mean, as you can guess, it's a hunting scene. You know, there are pigs and buffalo of massively epic proportions. And to date, it is the oldest story ever recorded. Excuse me. And it's also believed that it could be the first sign of spiritual belief. And apparently signing your artwork was a thing back then because they saw the hand stencil on the bottom left of the mural, which they believed to be the artist's handprint.
Oh, okay.
Now, what boggles my mind is that we don't know which form of communication came first now. We don't know if we started speaking first or using visual art to communicate first. And that just blows my mind because we don't know exactly when we started talking.
Oh, my vote's for art, for sure. I believe it.
How cool is that,
though?
That
is cool. Very cool.
I wonder if there's a part two to that story at any time.
All right, I've got some good news if you or someone you know or love suffers from anxiety. So anxiety disorders are actually the most common type of psychiatric illness. And there hasn't been a ton of data about recovery from anxiety until now. Because Canadian researchers actually reported last week that there really is a lot of hope on the horizon for people suffering from anxiety. And this study, which actually went down in Toronto, shows that 72% of Canadians with a history of generalized anxiety disorder have been free of the mental health condition for 1 year. So 72% of people who have suffered haven't had any symptoms for a year. And many of them actually now state that they're in excellent mental health with no other mental health issues.
Wow.
So they're saying that this research provides a very hopeful message for individuals struggling with anxiety, their families, and health professionals as well. They said our findings suggest that full recovery is possible even among those who have suffered for many years with the disorder. Now, one of the most important factors with recovery was having someone in your life who provides you with a sense of emotional security and well-being. And the researchers also found that poor physical health, functional limitations, insomnia, and a history of depression were all impeding the excellent mental health status in the sample in people. So they're going to be able to do a lot with this and help a lot of people.
That's a great success rate, 72%.
72%,
right?
Study.
Yeah, that's great.
I know when you're in like an anxiety or panic attack, it's hard to think about that, but the truth is it can go away. It won't be that way forever.
That's great news.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, so this man bought his wife something that she was really not happy about, and I feel like I'm missing something here because I think it was the most thoughtful thing ever. Want to know what you think, though, this morning. You can text us at 92925. So this was a post on Reddit. It has gone viral, has thousands and thousands of people replying and commenting on it and sharing it. It says, so I don't track my wife's cycle, but I've been with her long enough to get a sense of where it falls every month. She keeps feminine hygiene products in the cabinet with toilet paper, and I saw she only had one left. So when I went shopping today, I picked up a package because her time of the month is coming up. I figured it'd be nice. Anyway, when I got home and she saw, she got upset and said it was weird that I did it on my own and even kind of creepy. Is this something that men just aren't supposed to do? I didn't do it with any previous girlfriends, but I also didn't live with any previous girlfriends for 8 years. Am I a jerk? No, she's a jerk and you should dump her.
Really?
Date him or dump her.
The thought of buying someone personal hygiene products has never crossed my mind. Like, to me, it's your business. The same way, reason I wouldn't expect my girlfriend to buy my razors when she sees that I'm running low. Like, I got it. I'm on top of it. Plus,
we understand you wouldn't think of it. Like, you'll be honest, you're not the most thoughtful person in general. Like, you're not the person bringing home like flowers or anything all the time.
Only when I have to.
Oh wow, you might have to today if you're not careful.
Right. I just think it's the most thoughtful thing ever.
Yeah, I think it's thoughtful too. Actually, I mean, Sam, you say you don't expect your girlfriend to go out and buy you razors, but if she did, you would think it'd be a thoughtful gesture. I'm kind of jealous of this guy that he even thought of it, actually.
I agree. I'm jealous that she has him. Kim Curran?
Totally jealous.
Right?
I'll take him.
I don't know what she could have been upset about.
No, I've been married 20-some-odd years. You think, no, there's no way he'd pick me up feminine. So totally, I would
and
love that.
It shows he's paying attention. Yeah. You know, he's paying attention to what's going on.
All right, I'm learning.
Yeah. This one says that was very thoughtful of him. Maybe it was PMS and she took it the wrong way.
Oh, that's true. It was, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was that time.
I mean, possibly, but that's like the worst thing you can say to a woman at any time of the month.
Yeah,
to
assume
that.
Dangerous.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, people are dating dumper. Exactly. I agree.
I think it was a great idea. I actually kind of want to try it. I want to go home, see what my wife Kelly uses, and then go out and buy some.
Oh,
and then spring them on her.
Make sure the timing is right, though.
Well, obviously,
you want to make sure that it falls on the right
tape.
And you might be trying too hard if you're like, I saw another guy do this, so now I'm going to do it. And
I'm not going to give him any credit.
Andy,
are you kidding me?
She'll know. She listens to the show. And Andy's going to be following her around being like, how do you feel this time of month? Like trying to keep a track of where she's at.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Running low on any supplies, cravings?
It'll be weird. It'll be weird, Andy. Just give it some time. All right, we've got Tony on the line. Now, Tony, you may be like husband of the year in Montreal. Tell us the type of things that you do for your wife, aside from buying her personal hygiene products, because you said you do that all the time, right?
I also dye her hair.
He dyes her hair.
What? Dyes her hair.
And I dye her hair. It's not that hard, guys. You can do it. And, like I don't do highlights. I can't do that.
That's where you draw the line, is it?
That's fair though.
And I trim her hair too. You know, she has like, because I'm not a hairstylist by any stretch, but because she has like one length long hair, I'll trim the split ends and
I keep her hair tight.
So I save a lot of money. She says, oh, thank God I don't have to go dye my hair and cut my hair at a...
You just give her the bowl cut, Tony, right? You just trim the ends around the bowl.
No, I do that. I actually do that. I cut my son's hair.
Okay. Yeah,
of course you do.
It's different because I have a clipper and... I do my own hair.
You are honestly my new favorite person. Your wife is a lucky woman. That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
She appreciates it too.
Thanks for sharing that with us. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too, guys.
My only concern here is now Andy's going to be chasing his wife around with scissors.
Yeah, hey, let me cut your hair.
Let me cut your hair. It's so romantic.
Let me dye it for you, too. I got a great color in mind.
I really like it. That was one of my favorite parts of 50 Shades of Grey. There was a part in it, and this was when I was like, Christian Grey is the perfect man. He put her hair in braids. I'm like, do you know how much time I would save every day if I married somebody who could do my hair?
You deal with an Italian girl's hair, okay, and then come tell me how easy it is to do braids.
What are people saying on our text line? At 92925.
I love this text from Marissa. She says, that guy is awesome. I ran out of feminine hygiene products at work and asked my boyfriend to bring me some. He brought me a Band-Aid.
No, he didn't.
Well, they look the same in a way.
It's not the same at all.
Greg has been married for 17 years. He goes, I don't even know what tampons are.
Oh, God.
Some work to be done.
This text from someone who works in a pharmacist. It says, I see poor lost men in the feminine hygiene section almost daily. They could be boyfriends, husbands, or even dads. I think it's really sweet. She should be appreciative and obviously has never been stuck on the toilet and realizing that she had to go run. Yes, exactly. Like having somebody think of these things for you, that just changes everything.
What kind, like let's say it's an emergency scenario and you're at the pharmacy. What's the go-to tampon to buy if I'm totally clueless?
Extra spicy.
Spicy, perfect. Yeah, okay, extra spicy.
Go with that, Sam. Can't
low sodium, extra spicy. Got it.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to start with you here. Extra spicy, low sodium.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.